So the 2009 film Star Trek. Let's just go with the
Michael Giacchino. Giacchino.
Yeah, Michael Giacchino.
He was. I thought his score was really good. Oh, and didn't even forget Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, Hans Zimmer, absolutely. And that's the thing. Like his type of scoring is very textural. You know, you hear about his music just being like boom, 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 boom. Think about the score to Inception, for example.
I mean,
whenever they are in the dream world in Inception, that's just all variations. That is all just slowed down immensely versions of Non, je ne regrette rien. Like that's all that is.
It's funny you mentioned that. Is they did borrow? I think there are some. Since it is Zimmer, of course, there are some. But if you really want to get a good look at how unique I think he is, take a look at the film Interstellar and the work he does on that. I don't think it sounds like anything he's ever done, soundtrack wise or score wise. The film Interstellar, and he actually, if I got the story correct, he had to go to Europe to find a very specific organ that's quite old to be able to actually conduct the score in a way that it had done, and it really gives the film sort of this ethereal quality of it's about space travel and space time and physics, and it gives the film this different quality. I not to derail the conversation.
Oh, but that's a thing. Like people like, and that's a thing that people do in new music as well. They have a very specific idea of a sound, and a composer will get a specific instrument to make this certain sound. It happens in pop music too. I mean, in the Sigur Rós film Hema, they wanted to play. They went to this like field where there were all these rocks that were just in this big pile, and Kjartan Svensson took this big they went through like a bunch of different rocks and just like hit them with a mallet and just listened to what sound they would make, and he made this marimba out of these rocks for this concert they were doing in a cave. So it's really specific things, these original instruments that you can make, or using specific sounds of very famous instruments, like a famous organ.
I'm trying to find out the story right now because I really loved this. I think this is, to me, this says what everything has to be said about these sort of classical composers, that Zimmer exactly where this very specific organ was. And I think there was only one maybe on the continent. It's bothering me that I can't remember this exact story, but they had to get this specific, I think it's a temple church pipe organ. It was very, very specific.
Yeah. I mean, there are organs that have stood in certain churches for years, years and years, centuries maybe. I don't know. Maybe the pipes there for centuries and they have new manuals for them. But I don't know how old the Wanamaker organ is. You know, the Wanamaker organ in the, I think it's a Macy's now in Philadelphia. It used to be, it started as the Wanamakers, and then it became like a Lord and Taylor, and it was a JCPenney or a Macy's or some department store that has this gigantic organ that is one of the largest in the world, and it's just in a department store in Philadelphia, and people do concerts on it.
I'm glad to know that there's, at least with you, John, there's no snobbery when it comes to, I really do pay close attention to film scores, because there are times where I listen to a lot of them. I thought you can go back another decent one. X-Men Days of Future Past has an excellent, really excellent composition to it.
Yeah, it's not.
And a lot of this is because of these epics.
Yeah, it's not diet classical music. I mean, if it's what gets you into classical music, I mean, then that's great. It's not, I'm not going to thumb my nose at anybody for getting into classical music via film score. It's certainly a great way to introduce somebody to it. And I think maybe you talk to some other classical musicians and you find that they're like, oh, film score. Well, yeah, no, that's nice. That's fine. That's acceptable. I mean, yes, it is acceptable. It's still great music. We've got a show on our station called Music from Movies because film score is a valid form of music to listen to.
I know I enjoy it.
Well, I look forward to your written assessments of these pieces. And if anybody you, anybody who is listening to this, who is reading this post on the First Impression series, pays attention to the First Impression series. It's about music that either is going on in Baltimore or related to Baltimore. I try to restrict it to either music that has been composed within the past 10 years, performers that either are performing new music or are known for performing new music. Like on the first post of First Impression, there are a couple of things about concerts that are not actually of new music, but the performers in them are generally new music specialists. And then I actually talk about music that is made by classical musicians, but it's not classical music. There's a band in Baltimore called Outcalls, which I think I have told Missy and Brett to send their music to U92. I don't know if they ever got it, but you can look them up and then just tap the music director on the shoulder and be like, hey, listen to this. These guys are good.
I can do that. I have a little bit of sway over there, right here.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. No more than one would need.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Alex, thank you so much for listening to these pieces for me and coming to talk about them. And I hope that leads others to listen to these works as well as other works by these composers. And hey, if you want, I'll keep on recommending you new music and we can come back and talk about these again.
Absolutely. I thank you for helping me on this quest to broaden my horizons. I hit it because I will say classical music is sort of this avenue that I instantly forget about. And then every single time I walk down the avenue again, I remember, oh yeah, I actually enjoy this. So yeah. Thank you.
And it's surprising for somebody in the United States where culture is mainly based around pop music. I mean, that goes back to music history in America. It started with Sacred Harp songs, and then it continued into minstrelsy. God forbid that, but it's all based on music that you can sing to and you understand the words, which brings me around to my comment about vocal music on the radio. And the reason why it's not played so much on the radio, I mean, we have a show called Vocalese, and we have the Met broadcast, and we have our Saturday afternoon opera stuff. But vocal music is generally not played on the radio because American listeners are used to hearing the lyrics. They listen to songs for the lyrics and not for the music. Everybody talks about, oh, I don't know the words to that song. Or I mean, any piece of music in America is talked about as a song, whereas songs are sung. And, you know, you have a whole bunch of other people talking a whole lot more haughtily about how, oh, it is not a song. Songs are sung. It's a piece of music. I mean, while that is correct, it's kind of a snobbish way to talk about it. But yeah, Americans are used to hearing music that is sung in a language they understand and in a tone of voice that they feel like they could emulate. And classical music just doesn't do that. It's often in different languages, and it's in this operatic voice that people can't produce that naturally. It takes a lot of training to be able to do that.
I don't have a good response here, John. Let me try it over.
Well, what do you think about vocal? I mean, because you liked Caroline Shaw's piece the best, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know if I liked it the best, but I mean, I think I liked it Adams, which for me is kind of unexpected because I'm listening to Adams thinking to myself, this is the type of stuff that I really like.
Right.
You know, I'll listen to film scores sometimes to like wind myself down before bed.
Right, right. And that's another thing that something that I try to steer classical music listening away from. I mean, of course, it's great for relaxation, but when it becomes only used for that, because it's great to relax to, but I kind of cringe when a record label is promoting music as classical music for relaxation. It's like, but what would the composer of this piece, would Claude Debussy have appreciated a corporation telling people who they wanted to sell his music that you should buy this recording of La Mer because it's going to put you to sleep?
Well, that's a whole nother story about capitalism, marketing, and advertising that I doubt have time to get into. But I mean, not all classical music is is the same. I certainly wouldn't listen to Shaw to put me to sleep. Oh, yeah. I don't think I would. I wouldn't listen to Adams to put me to sleep. Adams, I told you I was energized.
Oh, yeah.
I might listen to that. I have some classical stuff on my workout playlist.
I was going
to
say, yeah, that's workout music there.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah. Try some Philip Glass for workout music. That'll just like that, the repetitiveness of it. It just also, John Adams has a piece called Short Ride in a Fast Machine that I think is a good introduction to his music. And it is more, it starts out with just this ostinato woodblock playing. Just like, for about half the piece that's going on. And there are a lot of different ways that you can listen to classical music that can apply to your life, whether it be just listening to it for the music or it being relaxing music or workout music. And like I said, the relaxing part, perhaps not the best promotional tool for it, but...
Agreed. I don't think that's if that's something that you find of your own accord. I mean, by and large, I think one of the... I mean, you'll be more the expert, obviously, than me on this. And you can be, I'm sure that the answer is that probably yes. But and so I preface this that way. But my guess is that if most classical music, there are, again, you can have pieces of music where in the same piece of music, it can go from relaxing to energized, back relaxing in a span of just a few minutes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the cool things about classical music, too, is that it's just constantly changing. I mean, classical recordings, whenever I would play them on U92, whenever we play them here, the level is always very high because you can't pick up the pianos in the music without the level being very high. And then the top of it is never like clipping or anything like that. There's no, say, there isn't the noise wars that happen in pop music, in classical music production. They also leave a bunch of time at the end that they don't cut off rhythmically at the end, which makes it like, oh, this piece is ending in 30 seconds. Oh, wait, it ended in 15. So that's a gripe that I have with classical music producers. Cut off your pieces rhythmically. Cut off your recordings rhythmically. Don't just leave a bunch of silence at the end. Leave a rhythmic amount of silence.
I really look for seeing how you're going to take this conversation and make me not look like an idiot, by the way. I'm really excited for that.
Well,
really excited for that.
You have failed to sound like an idiot so far, so I think
all right,
you'll be okay.
All right. If you say so, I'm excited. I think this was a good content. I appreciate recommendations from someone who knows what they're recommending. That to me is, that at least gives me a confidence in what I'm jumping into, that I'm not jumping into something that I'm not going to be able to, that's going to be a waste of time. Cause
right.
I really enjoyed this music. And again, I'm going to listen to this playlist again, cause I need more than first impressions.
Yeah.
I need second and third impressions. And certainly, you know, I kind of know how I feel already about Shaw. I need a little more time with Higdon.
You know,
I feel like I know the music well enough while I was listening to it.
Sure. Listen to her violin concerto. Her violin concerto is, I think, actually more of a, like her viola concerto, I would play anytime during the day. Her violin concerto, I would play after 10 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
So,
to know.
Yeah. So, yeah, this the entire point of this was not to make you sound like an idiot, but to give new music to somebody who's not even used to listening to classical music, so they don't have a reference point of Mozart or Brahms to compare it to. And then you have this entirely new perspective on classical music that perhaps did not come from necessarily having to have a previous understanding of it. And I don't think that having an understanding of classical music is necessary to enjoy new music. And I think you kind of proved that for me. It's that you don't have to have a preconceived idea of what classical music is supposed to sound like to enjoy new music.
Agreed. Just remember two things. One, I also do enjoy film scores. So as you said, I have some familiarity with the sound, but two,
this is true.
Don't fall into the sample trap. You better do a good study, get another 200, 300, 400 people to and get do their. I'm kidding, of course. That might be a lot of work to do that level of an analysis. But
I talk on the radio about music. I like music, and I like talking about music. So I'm doing that sample size. Any volunteers who want to who maybe are coming on to the on the WBJC.com, just leave a comment at the bottom of this post about hey, give me some new music recommendations, and we'll go from there.
Classical music guinea pigs in Baltimore. That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, new that's music. Great. I mean, you know, most of the people who go on our site, man, they listen to BJC, so they listen to classical music. So listening to new music would be a cool thing to turn people on to.
Absolutely, and I think an opportunity. So
yeah. Well, Alex, thank you very much for being a guinea pig.
I guess it's weird to say this. I would do it again.
I will recommend you more stuff. I'm going to recommend you some perhaps things that aren't quite as easy to listen to at first.
Okay. All right. You're going to challenge me a little.
Oh,
all
yes.
Right. I'm ready to challenge you next time. I'm ready to be challenged. I am ready to be challenged. Let me finish Higdon, and then I will take your challenge.
All right. Well, until next time, this has been a special edition of First Impression on WBJC.com.